Welcome to Carolina Business on Fire. This is your host, Michelle O'Connor. The show is sponsored by O'Connor Insurance Associates. O'Connor Insurance is an independent insurance agency specializing in relationships and providing customized solutions to meet your business, personal, and life insurance needs. For more information, you can check out our website at oianc.com. Carolina Business on Fire was created by business owners for business owners, exposing business success in the Carolinas one small business at a time. Carolina Business on Fire shares the amazing success stories of businesses in our community with business owners that you wish you had met 5 years ago. Guests on our show share their strategies to inspire you to take your business to the level where it is on fire. I'm really excited to have with us today Jim Dunn, owner of Dunn Enterprises and Sandler Training. Jim is an expert in Salesforce development. The training Jim provides is life-changing, and it will revolutionize your business. It's not just ideas and philosophies. It is a complete sales system. My husband, Terry, participated in Jim's training several years ago, and it has literally changed his life and, consequently, mine. I'm sure you can tell how excited I am for Jim to share more with us today. Jim, welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have you on today.
Thank you, Michelle. It's great being here. Thanks for having me as a guest.
Absolutely. I'm super excited. Your business has been very important to our business success, and I'm excited to have you share with other business owners a little bit about your training. So if you don't mind, let's get started with how you got started in this business.
Well, it's kind of funny. We all sell. We all sell from our beginning of our birth till whatever we're doing. If you don't believe that, just go through any type of a job interview or report at the end of the year how well you've been doing. So we're all selling. So I went into professional sales in 79, and I was always one of those that wanted to get better. I was a competitive athlete, so it was all about goal setting and getting better. And I listened to everything I could, read everything that I could, and I was in the hospital supply market for a number of years. And I just took those principles with me, and I became successful.
That's fantastic. So what sold you on the Sandler training? Did you take it when you were a training professional, a sales professional?
Yes. Really two things, Michelle, that really attracted me to Sandler. I was doing very well in selling, and I was always, again, looking for, you know, how can I get edge over my competition? So that's why I was always looking and reading at everything. So I was very fortunate that I had a dad that was an entrepreneur. It's kind of funny. I mean, he was an attorney that hated being an attorney, and he wanted to get into professional sales, and so as a kid I used to travel with him and really kind of learned the ropes that way. So I knew that's what I really wanted to do. And then how I found about Sandler and why Sandler was that I invested money on my own. My company did not pay for it. And I loved it so much, I could immediately see the difference. I mean, you learn things like upfront contract, right? You learn things about going for the pain. And I literally could see that I was able to not only qualify, but disqualify real candidates from those who really wanted to buy, from those who really kind of took all of my knowledge and my time and expertise. And I talk about, you know, the big thing that I do is help great sales professionals not to become unpaid consultants. So why Sandler? Number one, they had, and I still believe to this day, without a shadow of a doubt, the best selling process that's out there. There's lots of good selling processes, but to me it wasn't just a sales system, it was a communication system. And I really bought into that because I could really see how successful that it had made me. Second reason was it was the only system out there. David Sandler creating this, to me, this is where David Sandler really got it, and that is the fact that it didn't end. Selling is a profession. I work with CPAs. I do work with attorneys. Every year they have to have continuing education credits. So that tells me they're constantly working on their profession. They're constantly getting better. And
right.
in the Sandler process, our whole model is ongoing training and reinforcement. It's through repetition that one gets better. So our model with having a president's club, and when I'm on sales calls, I look at a company president and I say, look, if you're thinking about a quick fix, I'm not your guy. This is not the place. It's going to cost you more money and more time than you really think. I need you to be with me for a minimum of 2 years. And, of course, that disqualifies a lot of people. Some people, and yet some people really do get it because, again, habits have to be changed. I am in the behavioral change business. You know, what are those limitations that we have that are really holding us back, and why are they there? So we're constantly working on attitude. We're constantly working on behavior and technique. We call that the success triangle. But, Michelle, long answer to your question, but that's really it. The system, number one, and number two, professional development never stops. It's all about ongoing training and reinforcement.
I couldn't agree with you more on both of those notes, particularly the communication system that Sandler really provides, because it helps in a number of areas of your life, not just in sales. It helps
right.
with how you deal with other professionals and other vendors, and how you deal with your spouse at home and family members sometimes.
Hey, I was really pleased to hear what you had to say in the beginning. I tell you, all those people who were listening that are married, I mean, that's really it right there. Is that this system, husband, wife, whoever's taking Sandler, it'll go with you wherever you go. It's the greatest thing that you can do in teaching your kids. It's the greatest thing as far as relationships. I mean, I've had clients just like yourself who said, hey, this saved our marriage. This helped us with developing our kids. Not only did it help us with the business, but this communication system goes with us wherever we go. I was talking with one of my clients yesterday, and I've been working with her for 20 years. She's bringing her nephew in as a new client with me, and they're beginning on Friday. And she said, hey, I want this young person, my nephew, to really learn Sandler, really learn how to sell. And they know they're not going to do it on online training. They know they're not going to do it on a tape. They know they're not going to get it by going to whomever on a one-day workshop and walking on coals. Sorry, but that's
right.
just not going to change behavior.
That's right. Well, all joking aside, it did literally save our marriage. The communication change is profound. It really is. It sounds cliche, but it is very true. And the other techniques with the vendors have helped us in a number of relationships, just in making sure that we were clear with the upfront contract and that we were asking clear questions and we were both on the same page as we moved forward through projects.
Right.
So, Jim, as a business owner yourself, what's one of the biggest lessons that you've learned about being in business for yourself?
Michelle, it's so funny. I just left a meeting with a business consultant, and actually this is a mentor of mine who literally took a company from zero to $100 million. So
wow.
In this case, I was really more of the student than I was of the coach. I was being coached. And I think as we all go through life, we hit various stages in our life, and we hit crossroads. And I think as a business owner that, you know, the biggest danger that any of us have is when we hit a crossroad and we don't know what to do, or we hit a crossroad and we just continue on with doing what we've always done. In the case, and you know, we all know the definition of insanity. So
right.
The question is, do we really want to grow? The question is, do we really want to stretch our comfort zones? The question is, are we really willing to set bigger goals? And, of course, that goes with risk. So I think really one of the biggest lessons that I have learned, and I think some of Sandler's greatest material is our material on no guts, no gain. And that's an assertiveness training program. But what it really does is that you really deal with your inner fears and those scares and those things that hold you back. And I was even listening to this morning, listening to David Sandler, which I've listened to it for about the 1,000th time, and I'm not exaggerating with that, because every time you listen to audio material, you pick up something new. And he spoke about get tough, the new you. So, Michelle, as I look at my future and where I'm going, I really have to get tough. I have to get tougher. Selling is a different game than where it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And guess what? It's going to be different 5 years from now. So many things have come into the picture between social media, and I think it's harder to see people these days than it was years ago. Everybody's connected. Everybody's wired in. Everybody's busy. So we have to do things differently, and that really is going to require different thinking, and that really is going to require more guts and more assertiveness training on our part, and really taking a look that am I really where I want to be? And I have always found, without a shadow of doubt, the greatest people out there are always willing to change. They're always willing to invest in themselves. I think one of the things that bothers me the most when I deal with a lot of business owners is how afraid they are to invest money in themselves and their people. And I'm blown away at that. I mean, that is the greatest investment of all. And I'm not just saying that because it's me and Sandler. I'm talking about whatever you're doing to make yourself better. And you cannot lose if you invest in yourself. It's never an expense when you invest in your unique ability. And I think our unique ability as business owners and whatever we do in our role is really investing in what are the things that make me way above average, that give me meaning in life, that give me purpose in life, that give me passion in life. And the only way that I can get better is to constantly grow. And that's going to mean investing not only in technology, but investing in myself.
Well, that's a great point, and I agree with you about how difficult it is right now to get FaceTime with people in the sales arena. People are busy and connected, and that really is keeping the doors closed a little bit longer or a little bit more often than it used to. We've certainly experienced that in our business.
Right.
So what are some ways that you're recommending to other sales professionals to break down that barrier and to try to form different relationships with people? Do you have some things that you're using and techniques you're using in your business that you think could apply?
Great question, Michelle. That's something that I think right now is the biggest problem that a lot of sales professional and business development people are going through right now. I look really at three competencies in professional selling. And they would be, number one, prospecting, number two, qualifying opportunities through the pipeline, and number three is closing. It's all about closing and getting the business. And, of course, after that, you got account management and such. But let's go back to the prospecting piece. It's the piece that salespeople struggle with the most. So, of course, you know, you have the social media out there, the Facebook, and we have the LinkedIn. And, by the way, you can there's a free download. If you go to my website, which is www.dunn.sandler.com, we have a free book. It's an e-book. It's 25 ways of how to use LinkedIn the Sandler way. And these are ideas to really grow and expand your business. I'm not saying that cold calls don't work, but it sure is a tough way to make a living. And here's what we know. Here are the numbers. 1% of my efforts lead into to new business. So let's really talk about good numbers. Here's what we also know. If I can get a great introduction meaning somebody who is a really good circle of influence, and get a personal introduction with that person, 85% chance of getting the business. Then I'll downgrade. It's a 50% if I have some kind of a telephone or an email introduction there. So you can use LinkedIn and some ways there to do that. Well, I'm going to go back to some ancient wisdom that I heard from David Sandler myself. And guess what? It hasn't changed. And here's the wisdom. Go out and develop five clients. Service the living daylights out of them. And in doing so, they will give you and introduce to you more business. I say this all the time. Amateur salespeople get referred. Professional salespeople get introduced. It's all about the quality of the introductions. And no accident, I was listening to some more audio material in the No Guts, No Gain. And there's this this rule of Emerson, the author Emerson had, called the law of compensation. And the law of compensation is the more you give, the more you get back in return. So how about that? So what that means is I have to give. I have to give value. You know, we also have this statement here, you will lose more business over stroke deprivation than a price increase. We live in a very stroke-deprived world, and what I mean by that is that it's like people don't care or people don't do the things to build up relationships. You talk about relationships. Relationships are built up when I put deposits into people, and deposits by what I say, how I say it. But those little personal thank you cards, those little things that you can do to really thank your customers. Anybody can send an email of, hey, thanks, I appreciate you doing business with us. Sending a personal thank you card is something that is like a lost art. So it's those little things like that that you really can add in. It's calling them when there's not a problem, and you're just calling them, hey, Michelle, I'm just thinking about you. We haven't spoken in a bit, or, you know, you've just been such a great customer for these number of years. I just thought I'd reach out, and number one, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your continued business and support. But secondly, you know, we're not perfect. Far from it. What else could we do to where we could make our experience working with you that much better? And now be ready for this. Most people aren't going to be ready for that question, so they're going to probably respond with something like, hey, you all are doing fine, F-I-N-E. Well, one of my favorite stories is most restaurants go out of business because of that four-letter word. How was your meal tonight, ma'am? No, it was fine, F-I-N-E. Well, if that manager right. had really been on his toes, he might have said, you know, I really appreciate that greatly. We're not perfect. Hey, next time you come in, and here's something, by the way, we want you to have something the next time you come in, this $10 off, but we could do probably something better for you. What it could have been the level of the service, it could be anything with the food. Hey, what might that be? And you would be amazed. If you just say that right there, people will then, they'll lessen their guard, and then they'll tell you something. And see, I think that's what we really need to do, is sometimes we take our customers for granted. What can we do to constantly nurture them, constantly take good care of them? Michelle, it's no accident. You're doing something right now for the betterment of your customers and clients. Good for you. You're showing it and living it right now, you and Terry, by having this podcast. You're trying to add value to your existing customer base. So I'm hoping that this really helps you out in numerous ways. But this is the way we all need to be thinking. I'll go back. Emerson's law of compensation. The more you give, the more you get back. The more you give, the more you get back. How can I live it each and every day?
Well, those are absolutely fantastic tips, Jim. I love what you're saying about adding deposits to customer relationships. It's super difficult in a very automated world to continue to have personal touch. And you're right, a phone call, a handwritten note, they take you very, very small amounts of time, but they make big deposits.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I still get excited when I actually get a handwritten note card that's smaller than all the rest in the mail. Sometimes it has an actual stamp on it.
I'm looking at a couple of them on my desk. Isn't it funny I don't throw them away? Isn't it funny that I don't file them away? Even though I do have a file for notes, I find the cards that are on my desk right now, seriously, that people have sent me sincere notes, they've been up there for 2 weeks. You know, maybe it's just like I need to look over there and think, wow, somebody really appreciated something that I did. That really is meaningful to me. Now, what can I do? How can I return the favor or pay it forward, if you will, somebody else? It pays dividends, Michelle. That's what it's all about. What can we do unselfishly to pay more dividends to the clients who we really like, where they trust us? We all know the cost of acquiring new clients versus retaining the clients that we have. So if we just spend more time thinking about the clients that we have and retaining those clients and the little things, it doesn't mean you have to go out and give them a $100 gift certificate. That's fine if you do that. But it's those little things that we do that say you matter. So how can I begin to fulfill that? Those of you who are listening in, that's a question. What can I do on a day-to-day basis to where I'm a real big believer. We've got something called the cookbook. It's a game plan for success. Maybe that's an item that I put into my cookbook. Maybe I send out one thank you card a day. One.
Right, one.
Promise you, it will come back to you in a lot of various benefits.
That's a great one. So you've mentioned some of your training programs. I know Sandler is certainly your lead training program, but you do offer some other things in your host of things that you offer. Can you tell us what else you what other things you offer?
Well, we have a sales management program, Michelle, that and part of that sales management program, I looked at really there's five competencies as a sales manager. The hiring and recruiting piece is one. Second is accountability. Third is coaching and debriefing. We really have to be excellent with that. Number four is motivating the team. And fifth is we always have to be working on our leadership skills and capabilities. So, you know, anything that has to do with business development, that's what we do. So our goal is to work with the executive team, not just salespeople. So sales management, leadership development is a big part of what we do. I would say under the realm of sales training, a program I do this type of time of year is called How to Have Your Best Year Ever. It's a three-hour goal-setting session, which we do virtual as well as live training sessions. And then behind that, the idea is to create balance. The idea behind that is that if we're selling, we always have goals that the company has given us, quota, whatever it may be, profit margin goals, sales. But what we have found is there's a direct correlation between having high personal goals connected to the business goals, and so really having balance. And I use something that I call a balance wheel, and the balance wheel is comprised of, yep, career, but it's also made up on the spiritual part of what's my passion, my mission, my calling, as I see my place in the world. Physical, we've got to take good care of us. So do I have the kind of physical goals to keep this body strong and at rest and keeping on doing the things I want? Family social is huge. I love to work, but I enjoy spending time with my family. I have big, hairy, audacious goals on my personal side as well. Putting three kids through college and now looking forward to various destination spots. So goal setting is a big part of what we do. We have customer service training, the Sandler way. We do, I had mentioned a little bit earlier, assertiveness training. And part of being a great professional salesperson is not being a high dominant, no. And it's not certainly being in any way aggressive. Most people run away from aggressive salespeople. But how can I have a balance between being nurturing, being assertive, and being vulnerable? Vulnerable meaning that you're really asking for permission, asking some questions out there. How can I show vulnerability? Sometimes vulnerability is, I don't know, and I'll get back with you. It's a great question, but help me understand the reason behind you asking that question. So that's a big part of it there, because you can learn so much from that. But anything that has to do with business development, going out, acquiring, taking good care of clients, so that they remain clients and customers of yours forever. That's our goal. That's what we do.
Excellent. Well, I have personally had the opportunity to sit in on How to Have Your Best Year Ever seminar. I think I've taken it at least twice, and a couple with a year or so in between, and I don't mind sharing with you that I have my notes and my goal chart in my bag so I can pull it out and look at it every week, and it's quite tattered, but I'm still working on it.
Oh, Michelle, you can always come back this year, and we'll have fresh new documents for you.
Well, I was thinking, you know, that if it had been 2 years, which it has been when I looked at the dates, that it was time, because
time to come back. We do it every year. I've even had clients. I'm thinking about a couple that I work with, and they're both real high level sales professionals, and they come back every year. It's just amazing. They've been coming back for 15 plus years, and 1 year they didn't come back for whatever reason, and they said, Jim, unfortunately, that was our worst year ever. And it's amazing. So they keep on coming back, and then what they do is after the 3 hours, they go out and they have lunch. We do it in the morning when everybody's kind of fresh, or at least I'm a little bit more fresh than the afternoon, but We do it in the morning, and they have lunch afterwards. And the two of them just sit down and they talk about it. And they've got a couple of sons, and they bring that into it. And I can't think, for all of us who are parents, one of the greatest exercises that we can do is to teach our children the value of forward thinking, to teach our children the value of dreaming, the value of not only dreaming, we all dream, but a goal not reduced to writing becomes a wish. So if I have a dream and I write it down and I have a plan to incorporate it, the chances and the likelihood of me accomplishing that goal are 5 times had that dream just stuck in my head.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's really good stuff. And I love your idea about going out to lunch. It seems like you set the plan in motion. If you're like Terry and I, we talk about it, we come to the training, and then if you aren't careful, you go back to the office and put it on a shelf. So the only way to put it into practice is to continue to discuss it and make it a living document in your business world.
That's right. That's right. And have some level of accountability. If it goes into the shelf, that here again, we're missing it. I really work on all of my clients to take it out at least every quarter. In fact, those who attend my session, I have a document in there that literally every quarter you're always looking and saying, okay, am I on track? If I'm on track, great. If I'm off track, how do I get back on track? Because see, sometimes there's a danger both ways. If I'm on
right.
track, the danger is that, I'll just continue to move on. Maybe we don't have that same level of intensity we had 8 weeks ago. So maybe I need to take a look at that to make sure that I really stay on course. And, of course, if I'm off track, the trap is that we give up. No, we've got plenty of time. Let's do what we need to do to get back on track so that at the end of the year I had a good year, a strong year. And, of course, there's always lessons learned. Sometimes in some years, some things are going to be better than others, and that's why I say, hey, here again, no unrealistic goals. There's just unrealistic timelines. And so if you keep that in perspective there, we never lose hope. We always
yeah,
have to
great.
Have
a You're dream. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Jim, you touched on this earlier, but who is your ideal client? Who it makes? It sounds like because of the different levels of training that there's a couple different audiences that apply.
Yeah, Michelle, I work with major Fortune 500 clients, and I work with a college student fresh out of college. I would have to say that the ideal client for me is someone who is in the business development world. They have to go out and prospect. They have to qualify opportunities. They have to close them. So it could be an entrepreneur, or it could be a sales rep with a major organization, or it could be a CEO of a very large, outstanding corporation. And the characteristics are they want to grow. They want to get better. They are frustrated with the fact that they're not closing more deals and feel they should be getting more of their share. They're really challenged with how long it's taken them to close a deal, and they're looking for ways, how can I shorten this? How can I bridge this? Or perhaps they don't know what to say when they hear objections such as price, or we're happy with our existing vendor, or any other objection or stall that keeps from getting a decision, and they're willing to improve their skills. They're willing to invest in themselves. They're willing to say, I'm the problem. It's not the market. It's not what I'm selling. I'm the problem. And because I'm the problem, I'm going to invest in me so that I can get better, learn the skills, learn the behaviors, learn the mindsets that I can incorporate that can make me better. And, of course, they have to be goal setters, Michelle. They have to want more than where they are right now. I've always found the most successful people want to get better. So I'm looking for people who want to grow their business by 20%, 50%, 100%, maybe more. So I want to work with people who are struggling, but yet I want to work with people who are really knocking it out of the ballpark. And for whatever reason, they're at that crossroads, and they may need a coach. They may need a system in place that they always can go back and they can rely upon. And that's what we do, is teach them with a system and a process to sell, and you can bet on the outcome.
Absolutely, you can bet on the outcome. We certainly did, and we have never looked back. That's for sure. It was
Thank you.
it truly changed how we do business in our agency, not just Terry, but the skills that he brought to the agency and the skills that he shared with our staff people and that he continues to share. He actually has Sandler time every week at our team meeting that he shares
awesome.
A little nugget that he'd like everyone to pay attention to or something that he feels like he's been lacking, and so he wanted to reread materials and reshare it with everyone so we can have it in front of us all of the time.
Excellent.
It's great stuff. Great stuff.
Terry's a real learner.
That's
what makes him a great client, and I'm thankful that he brought you in as well, because that's really the success of it all, is that if we'll share it with others, don't hold it to ourselves, share it with others, then a lot of good will happen as a result of that, and I'm just really excited that your team and your company has done as well as they have.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that very much. So I just have one last question for you. This is a question that we've been asking all of our guests because of the name of our podcast. Your business is on fire because?
I care.
Perfect.
Real simple.
I love it. I love it, and I can certainly attest to that as well. You really do, Jim, and we really appreciate it. So I can't thank you enough for being on the show today. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day, and I look forward to seeing
you.
Hopefully I'll get to see you again at the Best Year Ever training.
Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate that, and thanks, everybody, for listening in. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jim. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For listening to our show, I can't thank Jim enough for all of the fabulous little sales nuggets and customer relationship tips that he shared. You can listen to more episodes of Carolina Business on Fire on our website at carolinabusinessonfire.com. Just a reminder, this show is sponsored by O'Connor Insurance Associates. O'Connor Insurance is an independent insurance agency specializing in relationships and providing customized solutions to meet all your business, personal, and life insurance needs. You can get more information on the web at oianc.com. Thank you for listening.